me, Tom Forrest again. And hoping that it ain't too drasty, cold and miserable for you. Because you can take art, you know. Oh, yes, I got crocuses in my garden, poking half an inch above the soil. And that's a fair old sign that something's pushing, isn't it? And when something gets pushing, you can take it, but spring's about somewhere. I wouldn't like to say where, mind you. Probably Africa. But it is about. Now, I don't know whether any of you farmers out there got pigeon trouble, but we're blue with them round Ambridge. Especially with the snow and frost as we've had. Half-light mornings and evenings, they're down there a-feeding on the crops in their thousands. And I don't know what's going to be done about them. George Coleman and I have had up to 300 a week shooting over decoys from a hive. But you just can't keep up with them like that, can you? If you try to organise one of these days as a blanket operation, where you have every available gun out, there's odds that somebody who promises to turn up don't. And then pigeons soon find out for themselves what bit of country ain't being shot. Because if there ain't anybody there to keep pushing them around, they settle. And maybe 30 or 40 blokes have had a wasted day. I reckon as the ministry ought to offer a bob a piece for a pigeon's head, same as they did for a grey squirrel's tail. We might get somewhere then, you know. Still, I think I'd better get on and tell you what's been going on in Ambridge this week, hadn't I? Well, now, Dolly had told Doris and me, without going into any details, that he'd been double-crossed. And we've been left wondering what he means. Anyway, we start this morning at Blossom Hill, where Phil's been sent by Mr. Grenville to fetch John Tregoran to Arkwright Hall.
But nothing's gone wrong, surely?
No, just so happens they discovered another walled-up hidey-hole or something down there.
What?
Grenville wants you to be there when they open it up, that's all. So go on, get your coat on, and I'll run you down. It may be sovereigns again. You never can tell.
You bet your life, Phil Alger. Oh. Oh, now, wait a minute. This is a bit awkward.
Why?
Well, actually, I'm waiting for Carol.
Oh, you can drop in as we pass and tell her what you're up to.
But she isn't there. She's in Borchester. Yeah, she gave me a ring and said she'd be up here later on because she wanted to talk to me about Jimmy Granger's future.
What?
Jimmy, if you please. Apparently, she thinks I can help in some way.
Oh, this folk music lark, I suppose.
Presumably. I suppose I could pin a note on the door or something. No. Now, wait a minute. Come in, Phil, will you?
Yeah. All right.
Look, are you in a frantic rush for half an hour?
No, not particularly.
Well, would you like to make yourself at home and hang on here till Carol arrives and then explain the situation? You see, then I can nip down to Arkwright Hall in my scooter.
No, I don't mind hanging on. Oh, for the life of me, I don't see why a note on the door wouldn't serve the same purpose.
Because Carol's getting touchy about Jimmy.
Touchy?
You know, sensitive.
Oh, rubbish.
Well, I've seen the signs, John.
Well, the signs of what?
A woman with a sense of mission, a stage mother. There's a glint in the eye, a sense of dedication. That cold, flat, calculating look that women get when they suddenly discover they have a cause, with a capital C.
John, that's all baloney.
You want to bet?
No.
But be a pal and play in my way, will you? Hang on for her and explain.
All right. That's the way you want it.
Thanks, Phil. I'll just clamber into my weatherproof and be off then. I'll bring her down to our side hall when she arrives, if you like.
Yes, I will.
Walled up hidey hole, eh? I wonder what that's going to do.
Well, you'll soon find out, won't you?
Who's that?
It's Rita Sandor.
What do you want?
There was no light in the bakery. You're using the mixing now, ready for tomorrow. I wondered if you were all right.
You noticed too much, Rita.
I can't help seeing the lights go on in the bakery from the caravan. Regular clockwork in there by 8 o'clock mixing your dough for tomorrow. I got worried when you didn't keep to your routine. I thought perhaps you might be ill, so I came across to see.
Oh, I'm sick all right, Rita. Figured out.
Oh, you're worried. What is it? Is it the thought that you're still in the business that's upsetting you?
I'm not still in the business.
But I thought...
You thought, and I thought, and a lot of people thought, Rita. Some of us are innocent enough to think people will behave decently and keep their words.
Are you saying that they've gone back on their offer?
Oh, no. No. Nothing like that. But I won't be double-crossed, and what's more, I won't be threatened.
Hadn't you better tell me what it's all about, Dowie?
And you better be getting back to your caravan and just check by your stopwatch what I ought to be doing next.
Dowie.
I'm sorry, Rita. Just don't know what I'm saying. Better go and get me dough ready, I suppose. You're right, I'm out of my routine.
May I come and help you, Dowie?
Hmm?
Let's do it together, shall we? Lardy cake day tomorrow. You'll need some help.
Oh, I'm in the mood for baking bread.
Ah, come into the warmth and the smell of the bakery. Once you get in there, you'll feel different.
If you say so.
I'll get the bucket for the yeast.
Oh, thank you, Rita.
I'm very glad you're not selling the business, Doy. I don't see why you should be so depressed about it, though. You badly want to leave Ambridge.
No.
Then what's the matter? What made you alter your mind?
Oh, Rita, don't ask.
But I do ask, and I demand to know. Now, what's gone wrong with the sale of the business? Will you tell me, or so help me, I'll knock you over the head with this bucket.
You might just as well.
For the last time, are you going to tell me?
I've been double-crossed.
Isn't the money there? You're a big bakery.
It isn't that.
Then what is it?
Rita, I made it a condition of sale that you would be kept on.
Yes, I know, and I appreciate it.
Now I discovered they already got a short list to replace you. Interviewed several. Got it down to the pick of five. You would have been out on the day of takeover. There. There ain't no legal, binding way of taking care of you as kept on. That's what they told me when I created.
And you called the deal off because of me?
I called it off. I don't like being double-crossed. Even when a thing ain't legal and binding, there's still decency in there.
You shouldn't.
Then he comes back at me and says, all right, then. We'll drive you out of business. Our delivery vans will saturate your territory and pinch the lot. That's what he said. He'll do it, too. He's that sort.
Oh, Doy.
Now, what's the matter with you?
You. You gave all this up for me, and I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it.
Rita. Oh, dear. I talk too much. That's what's the matter with me. I toss too much.
Well, John, what do you think we're going to find behind there, eh?
Probably little Audrey or something equally unlikely.
There's something a little eerie and outlandish about all this, though, isn't there? Shadows, blackness, the rubble. Those beams there, sticking out like skeletons against the sky. And this pool of light here with an honest British workman attacking a wall.
Now, don't let your imagination run away with you.
I'm sorry, but it's infectious.
I reckon I can shift her a bit now, sir. The top three courses ought to come this time.
Do you want a hand?
No. Now I've got a good purchase, they'll come. One more darn good belting and we've won.
What is behind there, John? Any guesses?
I wouldn't even guess the name of my own mother at a time like this. Stand back, it's coming.
There you are, sir. You can see inside now, sir, thanks to the lamp.
Your property, Mr. Grenville?
Your privilege, Mr. Tregaron.
Okay.
Go on, sir. I'll pay out the lien to you.
I may be feeling rather fey, but I'm practically minded enough to recognize the potentialities of another heap of golden sovereigns. Uh-oh.
Well, what is it, John? Anything interesting?
Papers. Damp, mouldering papers. That's all I can see from here.
Yes, just piles of old paper. No bodies, no treasure trove, no skeletons in the cupboard, no.
What sort of papers?
Correspondence or something, tied up in neat bundles. Probably the outpourings of some frustrated Arkwright novelist.
What do you want me to do then, sir?
Get the rest of the wall out. The papers look in bad condition, but we'll have to have them out. Don't you agree, Mr. Grenville?
Yes, certainly.
But careful how you get at it. A couple of bricks in there would ruin the lot. I'm afraid you'll have to break the wall out this way.
All right, sir. I'll be careful.
I don't know whether it's going to be worth time and a half, Mr. Grenville. We shall just have to wait and see.
Well, I'm prepared to hang on with you, John. I must say, this is most fascinating. The place grows on you, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Again, Arkwright Hall?
Yes, afraid so, Carol. He asked me to hang on and let you know what had happened.
A fine thing.
And I'm to take you down there if you want to go.
Oh, okay, Phil. Let's go and see Psychic Sammy.
Oh, and I'm to give you a drink if you want one before we embark. Do you?
Well, I will say that Mr. Tregaron's taste in sherry is absolutely impeccable. It's the one marked Bin 69 that appeals to me.
Bin 69 in Shelby, then. It's a new one on me. Where did you get it?
One of his vintner friends in town. Uh-huh. You ought to try it.
Don't worry, I'm going to.
Is Jill okay?
Oh, it's fine, thanks. You know, John talked an awful lot of fiddle-faddle and you don't know whether he's being serious or whether he isn't.
How do you mean, Phil?
Well, insisting that I stayed here to explain to you why he wasn't about and that sort of thing. He said you'd take a huff if he merely left a note pinned on the door.
I wonder why he said that.
because you've got a guilt complex over Jimmy Grange.
Guilt complex?
Well, here you are, Carol. Here's a share.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Cheers. Guilt complex. Honestly, that man's mind. What does he think I'm doing, baby snatching?
Oh, your guess is as good as mine.
But honestly, though, the things one gets accused of just because one encourages a youth to take an interest. Oh, well, come on. I suppose we'd better finish our sherry and get down there and pick over the bones. Oh, and we mustn't forget to put the fire guard up and switch the lights off. John's always most meticulous about that.
Oh, right.
Sorry, I'm late. I said I'd give Ned a hand with the milking this morning. What went wrong, Peg?
Oh, hardly slept all night. I didn't drop off until about 5 this morning.
Didn't the alarm go off?
Did you hear it?
No, I can't say I did.
Neither did I.
Where are the gumboots?
Where you left them, out in the passageway.
Oh, are they? Oh, yes. Oh, they feel as damp as the devil inside. I should have stuffed some newspaper into them last night. Right. Only to be expected. This sort of weather, I suppose.
Jack.
Yes, love.
Do you remember when I first met you?
Of course. Nappy Canteen.
Do you remember what you said?
Well, what a daft time of the day to bring that up.
Do you remember?
Well, it's a long time ago and, oh, blimey, I probably said a lot. You know, shot a line to impress you.
I was just a time girl, but you sat there in the nappy and we had a cuppa each and a couple of wads and... And you explained to me the thrill of ploughing properly.
I was?
Mm. When you were only 16 and your father let you take Blossom and Boxer and open up your first furrow.
Cool, by golly, yes. Old Blossom and Boxer. A lovely pair of horses they were.
Yes. You said that... There's your breakfast. Cover coming up.
Thanks, love.
I was just an innocent, wide-eyed townie. And I listened to you till the nappy closed... Well, you tell me how important it was that when you were working two horses, you had to have a well-matched pair. At the time, I thought you believed it.
Meaning what?
Jack, can't we work in double harness? I'm getting worried, terribly worried.
I sure blooming well hope so, too, after the way you laid into me last night.
I meant what I said, Jack. Well, perhaps I said it in a harsh way, but I meant it. I've hardly slept all night.
You don't have to tell me.
I felt bitter, terribly bitter. When you left Grenville's fruit scheme and came back here to the Bull full-time and did all that work in the dining room and really began to be a man about the place, I felt that, for the first time, we were pulling together. I liked it. It was nice. We were both travelling the same road for the first time since we'd been married. There's your tea.
Thanks.
But away you've gone again. Flown off at a tangent. It's Brookfield now. I know you, Jack. In 6 months' time, it'll be something else.
Do I have to have this with my breakfast? I'm late already.
After what I said, I hurt myself more than I hurt you. Believe me. It's been pounding through my brain all night. But it still doesn't alter the situation, Jack. I still feel the same about it.
Okay, okay.
Jack, please. Please, I don't like bust-ups. They upset me more than you ever realize. I just want us to love each other and... have confidence in each other, that's all.
Huh. That lot of confidence you've got in me.
Oh, what's the use? All right, take a huff if you want to. All I'm trying to say
haven't
is...
Haven't you said plenty already?
Yes, Jack. Too much. You may never forgive me for this. It could possibly be between us always, but... I'm sorry, my future lies here. And yours could too. Oh, call me uncooperative. Tell me I've got no sense. But I will not encourage your restiveness, and that's that.
You mean you get along without me very well, eh?
And try to turn it back on me.
Well, that's what it amounts to.
You get along without me very well.
Jack,
we've floated about so much. This job, that job, here, there, everywhere. Now we've got a real chance. Working in double harness. Oh, I didn't mean those things I said about your father, but don't you see?
No, I don't.
All right, then. You must do the other thing. I'll just have to go it alone. I thought that's how it would be. That's why I didn't sleep. I've got to get used to the idea that from now on it's going to be the four of us. Jennifer, Lillian, Anthony and me. And occasionally when it suits you, you'll make a fifth. That's what it comes to. I'm sorry, because I do love you. I know you're your own worst enemy.
Oh, blimey. Dad makes a sound business proposition and you over-dramatize the whole thing and turn it into grounds for divorce. Women.
I'll say no more, Jack. I'd better call Jennifer now. She's got some homework to finish before she catches the school bus.
Oh, blast the thing. Oh, it's going to be one of those weeks. I can feel it in my bones.
Hello, Jack. What's up, then?
Well, the flaming thing won't start. I was supposed to be milking at Brookfield half an hour ago.
Is the battery down?
Not enough there to turn it over.
Mm. Might be condensation, you know.
It might be a million things, Phil. Probably Peg sabotaged it or something. You know, a real spike.
Oh, don't be daft.
Look, I've had enough arguing before the dawn breaks. So for Pete's sake, don't you start on me.
You got a spark there?
Hang on to the lead or I'll turn her over and you'll soon find out.
It's a strong one, is it?
Bright blue.
Well, how long have you been twisting it?
Too long.
Might be over rich now.
Sure to be.
Well, look, you get in. Push the gas down to the floorboards and I'll give it a twist.
It might work. I wouldn't be the slightest bit surprised if it didn't.
Well, let's try it anyway.
Okay, Phil.
Why didn't you put it away last night?
Look, it's my car. I can do what the devil I like with it on my own bit of property.
Oh, right, I only ask. Crikey, you are in a mood this morning, aren't you? Got out of the wrong side of the bed?
If I'm still under cross-examination, I'm in a flaming temper, and let's leave it at that.
Yeah. Why?
All these questions. If you want to know, Peg thinks I'm deserting her, that's what.
Oh, don't be so dumb.
A simple little thing like a partnership with Dad, and she has to go and turn it into the breakup of the blessed marriage.
Huh?
Women.
Oh, you've talked about it, then?
Talked. I've been nagged about it since I opened my mouth last night.
Yeah. She won't play, eh?
I'll lay you odds on that.
Toes dug firmly in?
Yes.
Well, Dad won't take Winford's unless you go in with him, Jack.
No, I know. Just what I might have expected from Peg, though. The last dig she had at me when I came out was that I never wanted her to have the bull.
Mm.
Well, okay, so she's half right. I don't want a working wife. Oh, thank you. Come on, I've had my foot down for the best part of an hour.
Oh, sorry, I was just thinking. Got your choke out?
No.
You've got your rag out, though, haven't you, Jack, my boy?
Oh, get on.
Are we winning?
Right. Try again.
Right. That's got it. I'd have given you a toe if that hadn't worked, Jack.
Ned'll have finished milking by now.
Well, that's all right. He's capable. Oh, so Peg doesn't go much on the idea, eh, Jack?
Go in there, chum, and you can take the full blast if you want to.
Eh?
I've had my share. Anybody's welcome to a second helping.
No, thanks. I don't think I'll bother. Well, go on. You get cracking and I'll follow you up, just in case the engine dies on you.
Oh, I think it's all right now.
Well, get cracking then. I'll follow you just to be on the safe side. Oh, and watch that patch of frost just up by the elms. It's a bit dicey.
Another cup, Dan?
No, thanks, love. I've done well enough. They took a fair old time with the milk in this morning, didn't they?
No, I didn't notice.
The cows have only just come back from having a bite at the silage.
Well, there wasn't a power cut anyway. All the lights were working.
I ought to get out there and get behind them. It's about time I showed my face around the place. Let them know I'm around.
Oh, yes. Borrow my whip.
Hey?
Oh, honestly, Dan, it's no good just peering out of the windows and watching everything that goes on. The job gets done whether you're gaping at it or whether you aren't. Try to pretend for a day or two that you're just an idle country gentleman.
Ah, don't talk so daft.
Oh, is that you, Jack?
Yes, Mum.
Come on, then. There's a cup on the go.
No, I don't want any tea, thanks. Full up as it is.
Late with the milking, weren't you, Jack?
Yes, but the churns are all labelled and out on the stand waiting for the lorry.
Mm.
My fault. Couldn't get the car started until Phil came along and gave me a hand.
Ned coped on his own, then, did he?
Except for the last two.
Oh.
There you are, Dan, you see. I told you there was nothing to worry about.
Well, come on, lad. What else happened? That calf down again, is it?
No, it's doing all right, Dad.
Well, something else is bothering you, Jack. What is it?
Well, this partnership job, Dad.
Huh?
It won't work.
Huh?
If I go in, it's likely to bust up Peg and me, and, well, nobody wants to see that happen. They're the kids to think of, too, and, well, it won't come off, Dad. I'm sorry. Oh, well, I'm going to cart out from Ruth to the ewes.
Bust up Peg and him.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Glad?
Yes, of course.
You're a finer than you are.
Oh, don't you see, Dan, it's for the best. Jack's sensible about it. He realizes.
Realizes what?
What I feel about it. I don't believe for a minute what he said about Peggy and a breakup of the marriage and all that. It was just his excuse, because he's come round to my way of thinking.
he realizes that it would be a bad mistake for you to take on the extra responsibility.
Oh, rubbish, Doris.
Now, don't be obstinate. Other people know much better than you do how you ought to take care of yourself. There's a toast. There's a marmalade. Now, finish off your breakfast properly and stop looking moody.
What time do you want?
Oh, 7:30, 8, somewhere around there.
Well, make it 8 then, eh?
Yes, all right. Scampi, steak and chips, and follow where the mood takes you.
Ah, that's the idea.
Got a nice bit of Stilton.
Oh, that'll do for me. Jill might feel a bit fruity. Just leave it to how the whim takes us, eh?
Yes, all right.
Oh, and tell you what.
Hmm?
Stew the mushrooms for a change instead of frying them.
All righto.
We'd like to have a chat with you, as a matter of fact, about Winford's farm. Still, plenty of time for that tonight. About 8 then, Peg, eh?
Yes, Phil. Thanks. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
How many more stags do you reckon you want, Peggy?
What's that, John?
Do you think we'll have enough stags here, or shall I bring another crate up?
Oh, no, that'll be fine. We don't get rid of many midweek. I wonder if I ought to send up for Prue.
Why?
Well, I've got 2 tables for 9 o'clock, and Phil and Jill are coming down for a meal at 8.
Oh.
Jack won't be here because he's got a selection committee for the football club. The public bar can take care of itself, but if I'm in the kitchen...
Oh, that's all right. Give Prue a break.
Oh, but there's the waiting at table.
I'll do that.
Oh, John, you won't. I wouldn't.
Rubbish. I shall enjoy it.
Oh, Jack's never waited at table all the time we've been here.
Well, maybe he doesn't like it. I probably wouldn't myself if I had to do it day in and day out. But, well, just for change now and again, I'm your bloke. They also wait to stand and observe or something. My mother must have been frightened by a nappy.
Oh, I really don't know why you should be doing all this.
Well, because it's fun, that's why. And I want to see you make a go of it.
Oh, back to that subject.
Oh, yes, you were going to say something when the phone rang and interrupted you. You were saying you felt terrible about the harsh things you've said to Jack.
Yes, but don't you see, John? Jack is a strong personality, but he's a restless one, too. We've got security here. I've poured all my life into this place, and I'm not prepared to give it up.
Yes, I quite understand, Peggy.
And although Phil and Jill are coming tonight, Phil said on the phone he wants to talk to me about Winford's place. Oh, I suppose Jack's been on to him and asked him to come down here and try and make me alter my mind. Well, I won't. I can't. I shan't.
No, Peg, I'm sure you can't.
I wish Jack would understand the way you do. He takes it as a personal affront when I don't do exactly what he wants to do.
Well, that's just one of the crosses of married life that you've got to bear, my dear.
Oh, I suppose so.
Now, come on. Get those creases out of your brow, Peggy.
I'm bothered about tonight.
I told you not to worry. I'll wait at table. Now, come on. Furrows away now. Nice, smooth brow. That's better. A little smile, perhaps, too.
The trouble with you is you're too much of a charmer, John.
Turn it on and off like a tap.
You pick the right time, though, don't you?
Do I?
Oh, John. Oh, that was crazy.
I'm sorry. It happened. I apologize.
I'm supposed to be a respectable married woman.
Yes, and I'm supposed to respect the fact. I'm sorry, Peggy. It was an impulse. You looked so forlorn and bothered and bewildered, and I...
Morning, all.
Oh, hello, Uncle Tom.
Oh, new landlord in the place, eh?
Huh?
Well, I'm afraid it ain't beer I'm after. It's baccy. Oh, and Peg.
Yes?
I hope you ain't going to want Prue tonight. Keep her over at Aiden's and ask me over for a bit of supper. We got the idea of swapping a bit of stock between us, and we was hoping to get it sorted out tonight.
No, Uncle Tom, I shan't want Prue tonight. You go out and enjoy yourselves together.
Thanks. Oh, here's the money for the backer.
Oh, thanks. It'll be fairly quiet, and John's offered to come in and help.
Getting a real feel for the trade, eh, John?
What do you mean?
Oh, nothing. Except that I reckon you'd make a good landlord.
Oh, thank you.
What about them papers you found behind the bricked-up place at Arkwright, all that? Anything any good?
Well, they're in a terrible state. Mildew, damp, a mass of household receipts. Haven't got them properly separated yet. Got to treat the lot gently, you know.
Mm.
Don't know whether they'll need to anything. But why on earth brick up a stack of grocery bills, I ask you?
Well, that's Arkwright all over, ain't it? No rhyme or reason for the sort of thing that goes on up there, is there? Ah, well, thank you for the backing, and thanks for letting Prue off up tonight, Peg.
Oh, that was utterly silly.
Well, despite what he said, I don't think he spotted anything, do you?
I hope not, for all our sakes.
I'm sorry, Peggy. It was just on impulse. It shouldn't have happened.
Oh, that's all right. I understand, John.
Anyway, I'm still coming down tonight to help you out. I shall enjoy waiting at table. I hope the tips are good.
Well, you can have either, Mrs. French. Yes, we've got both sultanas and raisins. Oh, all right, then. Thank you, Mrs. French. Yes. If I'll make it up for you tonight, and Mr. Hood will bring it down to you first one in the morning. Thank you. Goodbye. Mrs. French in a flap about a cake she's forgotten to make as a whisk-drive prize for Saturday.
She bought them ready-made for me to save her the trouble.
Now, Joey, it isn't like you to talk like that.
I'm a bit down, Rita. A bit down. Saw Hollerton Baker's van at the top of the village this afternoon. I don't know if it was there by coincidence, if you follow my meaning.
Already?
Well, they did say they'd run me out of business.
Have they been touting for business?
I never stopped to inquire.
Now count up your money and cash up the round. You'll probably feel better after you've done that.
If you say so.
And while you're doing that, I'll just make up this order for Mrs. French.
2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. For Bob. 2, 4, 6, 8.
What was the Hollerton Baker's van doing, Doy?
Huh? Oh, just parked. The back door was open, though. I could see a range of fancy cakes more varied than I can do with the time I've got. I can only do one thing at a time. Currant buns one day, lardy cake another, cream buns next. Oh, darn it. No, I lost count.
Where was it parked?
Outside the council houses. It's in the end of the wedge, this is. They'll be tugging elsewhere for long.
Oh, how do, Dolly?
Oh, how do, Tom?
Have you done your regular run in the last half hour or so?
Working down from the top of the village, I mean.
Yeah?
See anything of Len Thomas on the road?
No, can't say I did. Why, you looking for him?
Found his pony on the road, that's all. I knew it was about your time for doing that bit of the round, and I thought you might have seen him.
No, I never saw him. Oh. Of course, I took the shortcut down the track by Puddle Lane.
Oh.
He might have been on the loop, but I didn't go that way.
Oh, never mind. It was just a thought. Oh, are you skittling tonight?
Oh, been well.
Ah, well, I'll see you then.
Cheerio.
Cheerio.
First raisins, sultanas, currants, a dozen matches. You'd made your usual delivery to the council houses, though, Doy, had you?
Yes. I was there before the house and baker's van arrived. I saw it on my way back.
Look, Doy.
Yes, Rita?
I don't have to tell you how much it pains me to do it, but I wish to give me notice.
You what, Rita?
I'm leaving.
Leaving?
Yes, Doy.
But I don't understand why you should suffer.
You see these shadows under my eyes? Well, that's not late nights or drink. It's wondering what I'm going to do about you. You turned down Hollerton Bakeries because of me.
I ain't the sort of fellow that takes kindly to double-crossing.
But now you're going into battle because of me. And I'm probably a lost cause anyway, if Ambridge Gossip's anything to go by. No, Dewey, I couldn't let you do it. You take their offer. And take my notice, too.
Sorry, nothing doing.
Do you not see? It's the simple way.
The simple way isn't always the best.
But I'm going to bring you all this onto you. The competition, the battle for business, all that cutthroat
and
stuff.
A great asset you'll be to me, to be sure. Man don't live by bread alone, Rita. And my baking ain't got nothing to do with the sales of cigarettes and razor blades and stuff like that for the rising young men of the village. They come in to see you, and they got to have an excuse for it. A razor blade or a box of matches or something like that. You're an asset, and I ain't going to accept your notice.
Ah, listen to all that blarney. You thought that up all very quickly and said it very convincingly, but I'm not fooled. I'm just a liability. Rid yourself of me and you'll be able to sell out to the Hollerton Bakeries and save yourself all the sweat and struggle and strain of trying to beat them.
You don't know me very well, do you?
I know you better than most.
Should do after working together so long.
And this is where I say loyalty gives way to common sense. Or we apply loyalty in a commonsensical way. Rid of me. You'll have no problem in selling out.
Forgive me for being a bit awkward and changeable in my old age, Rita. But now I haven't got the slightest intention of selling out. I'm going to stay here and fight. All right. I might go under. But I'm going to fight. My ankles are up.
I still want to give me notice.
You don't. You know darn well you don't.
It's the simplest way.
Any employer worth his soul looks after the interests of his employees. That's just what I'm going to do. I shan't have your notice unless you hop in of your own accord. If you abscond, you'll get no reference from me.
I've never needed one yet.
It was a nice thought of yours. You see loyalty just the same as I see it. But I'd appreciate it if you forget all this silly business about giving your notice. Maybe I'm a selfish old man. I need you around the place. Don't think you'll be helping me by leaving, because I'm going to stick it out now, alone or otherwise. Come what may.
You're no help to anybody, are you?
How could I possibly leave you now?
See, Dad, after Jack had said that, I just smacked in a telegram a bit sharpish to Mr. Winford.
Yes, Phil. I see what you mean.
Have you had a reply?
No, Mum, not yet. Well, anyway, when I told Chris about it yesterday, she made it pretty plain. She thought it was sharp practice and I was going behind your back.
You told me that.
Yes, but still, I didn't want to get the wrong impression. So, Jill and I went down to the Bull for a meal last night to explain things to Jack and Peggy. Well, we didn't see Jack. He was tied up with the football selection committee. But Peg said exactly that all over again. She's not leaving the Bull.
She wouldn't necessarily have to, would she?
No, but I hadn't worked all that out at the time I had bunged off Winford's telegram. You see, Jack couldn't get his car to start, and he was down in the...
It's all right, Phil. I'm sure there are no hard feelings, are there, Dan?
Eh?
Well, you wouldn't have taken Winford's on without Jack coming in with you, would you, Dan?
Of course he wouldn't.
I might have done, given the opportunity.
Oh, crikey.
I've never been a chap for taking hasty decisions, Phil. I don't like to commit myself until I've weighed everything off from all angles.
Meaning I haven't?
No, I'm talking about myself, not you, Red.
Oh, look, both of you, have some more coffee. Don't let's quarrel about it, for heaven's sake.
No, I wasn't quarreling, just expressing an opinion.
Well, as I say, I didn't have a chance to see Jack last night. Oh, don't give me any more coffee, Mum, thanks. I must shoot off. Grandma's waiting for me to show him some pole headed for the Bulls. I'm a bit late now.
There's plenty left.
No, I won't stop any longer, honestly. Look, Dad, perhaps I did act a bit quickly, but... Well, on the strength of what Jack said...
All right, then.
I mean, if you still really do want it, and I stick on with Grenville, well, you could rent it off me or something.
Of course he doesn't want it.
I don't know so much.
Or, well, I'd be prepared to withdraw my offer to Mr. Winford.
I told you, lad, I never rush into anything without weighing it off first. I'm going to have a think about this for a day or two.
Yes, of course. But I just didn't want you to think that I'd slipped a crafty one across you. Look, I'll just have to shove off, honestly.
Well, that's all right. You carry on.
Love to Jill and the babies, Phil.
Thanks, Mum.
When are we going to have that christening, by the way? Sometime before the boy goes to school, I hope.
We're just waiting until Dan feels up to doing his godfathering job, that's all.
Oh.
Okay, now.
Bye. Here you are, Dan. More coffee.
Well, what do you make of that, eh? Straight on to old man Winford.
Well, it'll still be in the family, won't it?
I don't know what to make of it, quite.
It's not a bad little place. Phil probably thought that if he didn't step in quick, it might go to another buyer.
Me, for example?
No, I mean some stranger.
Makes you wonder.
Wonder what?
Just what Phil's got at the back of his mind.
A nice little proposition, that's all.
Is it?
What else?
You know, it's never occurred to me before, Doris. But do you think it's possible he might be jealous of Jack? Do you think that, even though he may not realize it himself, he resents any thought of Jack ever having any part of Brookfield? I wonder.
Dan Archer, you're reading things into it that just don't exist at all.
Now, you wait a minute, Dorlott. Work it out.
It doesn't need working out.
You just keep quiet. Let me have this say for 10 seconds, will you?
Phil came here and told you he was interested in Winford. He was quite open about it. He did nothing underhanded, didn't go behind your back. Speaking for myself, it's a relief to think that you're not going to buy it.
Now, there's nothing signed and sealed. What's to stop me getting in touch with Mr. Winford and topping Phil's offer?
Oh, Dan, you wouldn't.
If I felt strongly enough about it, I might.
Perhaps Phil was a bit hasty. But I'm sure it wasn't with any intention of doing you down. He's explained that when Jack told him Peggy had turned down the idea flat, he realized that you wouldn't take on Winford's on your own. You're being quite childish over this, Dan.
I wish you'd let me get a word in.
All right, go on then. What? If it's anything about Phil being jealous of...
Will you shut up a minute? That's better. Now, let's try and work this thing out. Neither of them, Jack nor Phil, have shown a lot of interest in Brookfield here. Both of them have gone their own ways, up to the time they came to help out after I broke my leg.
And a pretty fine pickle we'd have been in if they hadn't. I might tell
you... Hold it. Let me carry on thinking out loud for a minute or two.
All right. Go on.
It looks to me as though they don't rate my chances very high, doesn't it? Maneuvering while the body's still warm-like.
I've never heard such utter rubbish.
Well, my will's made. Been made this last 30 years.
Dan Archer, I'll hit you in a minute.
I'll fool them, though. I'll have to wait a long time. I got a good many years ahead of me yet. By George, they played their cards close to their chest, those two. both pretending they didn't want Brookfield, both going out of their way to show no interest. It's funny, that.
I think it's about time you stopped thinking out loud, Dan. I've never, never heard you talk like this before. I just don't understand what's come over you today.
I'm fed up with this idling about. Fed up with being treated as though I'm as delicate as a bit of Dresden china. I'm fed up with people talking and acting as though I'm incapable. Now do you understand?
Understand? I understand you better than you understand yourself, Dan Archer. Oh, what's the matter with you? You've never been in such a black mood before.
I want to be doing something.
Look, love, don't let's try to kid ourselves. We're grandparents. When I bend my back over the buckets with those calves, I know my age, believe me. It hurts when they bash them against my shins. It hurts when I'm too old and rigid in the bone to save myself when they send me flying. But I accept it. It's about time you started doing the same thing. Now finish your coffee.
I don't want it. It's gone cold.
Have you been harbouring these thoughts about Jack and Phil ever since they were old enough to think for themselves?
Of course not. I was thinking aloud, as I told you. You get plenty of time to think when you're not allowed to do anything, you know.
You can come to some pretty outlandish conclusions, too, can't you?
I look at it this way. Now, Winford's
farm... Oh, forget Winford's
farm.
Shut
up and listen. I gave Jack the chance. Phil's gone for it. Now, why?
As an insurance, if he quarrels with Mr. Grenville. He's got three little youngsters to bring up.
You don't think he's got his eye on Brookfield?
If he's got any sense whatsoever, he has, yes. But don't translate a sound, practical assessment of the future into something like sticking pins in wax effigies and wishing you into your grave.
I wanted Winford.
Well, as you said a minute or two ago, you've still got time. Get on the phone and overbid, Phil. Have a good old backer royal between you. Push the price sky high. Mr. Winford may be anxious to get rid of the place, but he's enough of a businessman to hang on until he gets the best deal. Go on, there's the phone. I thought you said that coffee was cold.
Oh, leave me alone, love, will you? Leave me alone. I'm just not ready to be put out to grass by you or Phil or Jack or anybody. Let me sort it out for myself, eh?
Not the way your mind's been working this morning.
All right, all right. So it was a bit of a blow when Phil told us. I admit it. I never thought he was avaricious. In the long run, he probably isn't. But give me time to get used to these things, eh? And stop chivying me. I'm not a child.
Sometimes you are.
Oh, give over, Doris. And put the coffee pot on again, too, eh? This lot's so cold, it's already got a skin on top.
Try so. And honestly, Miss Gray, I think he ought to be told, don't you?
Well, of course, Prue. I'll come up with you.
You've had it too, you say?
Oh, yes. The van called.
Well, I can understand it in your case, being in the centre of the village. But to take the trouble to come up our track...
It must be keen, Prue.
Oh, that's more than keen. It's cutthroat.
Did you buy anything?
Of course not.
You know, I've heard that Doey's altered his mind, that he isn't going to sell.
Yes, Cotterita. They wouldn't give him a guarantee to keep her on, so he washed out the old thing.
I see. And this is their way of getting back at him, eh? No sentiment in business. Well, come on. Let's go in and tell him what's been going on.
Oh, he probably knows, anyway.
Afternoon, Miss Gray.
Afternoon, Doey.
Afternoon, Mrs. Fyers.
Oh, we've gone real formal now, haven't we?
Don't cost nothing to show respect when she's due, my dear. Now, what can I get you?
Nothing, Doey, nothing. Prue and I were chatting and comparing notes, and we thought we'd come and let you know what's going on.
Going on?
Yes. The opposition's touting for business, Doey. Hollerton Bakery's vans have been chasing round the village trying to pinch your business.
Oh, I know that.
Well, they've even been to remote places like Prue's cottage.
I ain't surprised.
What are you going to do about it, though?
Fight him, of course. What do you think?
Rita Flynn's ever so worried. I met her last night, and she thinks you're only fighting because of her. If you'd only yourself to please, you'd sell up and get out, she thinks.
I got a more loyal friend than Miss Flynn. She even tried to give you her notice. I wasn't having that. That goes without saying.
It's as bad as that, though, Doey, is it?
Look, Miss Gray, there ain't many small shopkeepers or tradesmen in any line of business what could stand up to the long stockings of the big fellas. My particular line must be as tough as any of them, I reckon. But if I go down, I'll go down with my colors still flying. Don't you worry.
Well, you knew what they were up to, then.
Yes. They was decent enough to tell me as they were going to set about methodically driving me out of business. So I decided to stick my toes in and see who wins.
They won't get my custom.
Or mine.
Very nice of you both, but 'Tis a competitive world we live in. They give you better bread and better service and fancier cakes than I do. I'd be the last chap to moan at you for changing over to them.
But if they guaranteed Rita a job as manageress here, you'd have sold out, wouldn't you, Dowie?
Well, I got my three nieces to think about, Miss Gray. The Arkwright Hall scheme was finished and they had bedsitters or summed up at Arkwright Hall, it might have been different.
Oh, you're not fooling anybody, Dowie, not even yourself.
Come on, Prue. There's something we can do about this, I feel sure.
Hey, don't you women start meddling in my affairs.
You leave this to us, Dowie.
Oh, what can we do?
I don't know, but we'll think of something. Dowie's business hardly keeps him, but he's prepared to stick it out for Rita's sake. I don't suppose they've got anything in common but a general feeling of loneliness and being on their own. But there's a bond there. A pathetic one, perhaps. A useless one, perhaps. But it's a bond. And I find it rather touching.
Evening, Jack.
Hello, Phil.
I missed you when Jill and I came down to dinner.
Yes, I know. Selection committee for the football team for tomorrow, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Peg told me you'd been about. You want a drink?
No, not particular.
You'd better have something to pay for the lighting and the fire.
It seems I've stoked up enough fires in the last 24 hours, Jack.
I've heard. Peg told me.
Well, crikey. When I found you messing about trying to start your car, you told me she wouldn't hear of your going back to farming.
She said she wouldn't consider leaving the Bull. That doesn't rule out every possibility, does it?
Oh. So you think I've nipped in a bit sharp too, do you?
I'll only say this, matey. It isn't always the first chap in who gets the kudos.
Meaning what?
Meaning that you didn't give anybody any time to second thoughts, that's all.
What?
I hadn't properly made up my mind. But no, hell for leather main chance, you. Nip in.
Now, Jack.
You went smarming round Peg. Because you know what she thinks about it. Okay. That justifies your conscience, I suppose. Now, what say I stick out, eh? What say I decide I'm fed up with this pub lark and Peg can go her way and I'll go mine?
What?
What say Peg and I agree to stick together until the kids are off our hands, and for that reason only? Do you reckon you've helped any? Eh? Do you?